Worshipful brethren, brethren all, welcome to Freemasonry in 7 minutes or less.
In this episode, we were discussing how old are the square and compass. Now, the square and compass, I would consider to be the supreme, most recognisable, well, at least they were, somebody should do a podcast on that one, symbol of Freemasonry, one which people recognise all over the world instantly as being the symbol of the craft. And that got me thinking, how old are they and where do they have their origin? Well, let's first discuss the antiquity of the tools themselves. Perhaps the oldest geometer's tool, the compass, is of prehistoric origin. Due to the ease of its construction, itself being two equal-length sticks used to delineate a circle from a central point, which, interestingly, is itself a symbol for the monad. The square, I surmise, would have come a little bit later due to the more complex nature of its construction, but the square can be seen on the walls of ancient Egyptian tombs from millennia ago. Themselves learned the stonemason's craft from the Babylonians. So was there any employment of the square and compass in the ancient world beyond that of Egypt and Babylon? Well, while searching, I found this quote from Joseph Newton, who wrote the following in his book, The Builders, from 1922. Long before our era, we find the working tools of the mason used as emblems of the very truth which they teach today. In the oldest classic of China, the Book of History, dating back to the 20th century before Christ, we read the instruction, "Ye officers of government, apply the compasses." Even if we begin where the Book of History ends, we find many such allusions more than 700 years before the Christian era. For example, in the famous canonical work called The Great Learning, which has been referred to the 5th century BC, we read that a man should abstain from doing unto others what he would not do to himself. And this, the writer adds, is called the principle of acting on the square. So also Confucius and his great follower Mencius. In the writings of Mencius, it is taught that men should apply the square and compasses morally to their lives, and the level and the marking lines besides, if they would walk in the straight and even path of wisdom, and keep themselves within the boundaries of honour and virtue. In the 6th book of his philosophy, we find these words. In the 6th book of philosophy, this is where we find his words. Now, isn't that an interesting quote? Now, what also must be noted is the Chinese demiurge, for which the Greek symbol was the point within the circle which a compass can delineate, Fuji and Nuwa, his wife, were depicted as holding a square and compass, implying that the order of the universe was set by calculating demiurge. So we can see that the origins of the square and compass in a Masonic context are extreme antiquity, and they could possibly have a Chinese origin. We've not mentioned the Greek uses of this square and compass, as we only have 7 minutes, not 7 years, but I would definitely encourage the listeners to do so, as Euclid has some very, very interesting things to say on that topic, and the employment of geometry in the ancient Greek world is very important. So, Brother Earnshaw, particularly with reference to the Chinese, possible Chinese influence, do you have anything to say?
Yes, I think I could have quite a lot, and it would also be more than 7 minutes worth.
Is it in your books?
Yeah, is it covered in my first book, Spiritual Alchemy?
Ah.
I talked about Fuxi and his wife Nuwa. Mm. They're not actually holding square and compasses, and that's been misunderstood for a long time. What looks like a compass is actually a pair of shears.
Right.
I think from your part of the world where they do sheep shearing, they use like a spring. It's been bent over. They're not scissors. It's a single slump thing like this. And that's what he's holding. He's holding a pair of shears.
Mm-hmm.
And what looks like a square is actually, well, it is a square, but it's actually got a little ball of thread on it. And it was used to measure out thread. And so basically what you're looking at is the idea of cutting the thread of life.
Yes.
And
yes.
They were the gods that... Atropos in Greek mythology. And Atropos was also like a demiurge, and she cut the thread of each person's life, the length of their life. And this is what this refers to.
Okay.
But if you look at the picture, look at the internet, you'll find that Fuxi and Nuwa are actually joined together at the hip. Second thing is that from the waist downwards, they have tails and they're meant to look like dragons. And thirdly, right at the bottom of the picture is a picture of the world with stars and planets orbiting it. And so basically what this was is suggesting that the divine energy is actually both male and female.
Yes,
it's joined. There isn't a masculine and feminine. It's a single energy, but which leans to masculine and feminine. And underneath is the dragon, and the dragon is symbol of all power, which means that as individuals, we have all the power. You mentioned Confucius and Mencius, and I studied Mencius at university, so I have a little bit to say about this.
Sure.
A lot of these quotes have been mistaken out of context. And you mentioned Joseph Newton and other people and quotations, for example, Mencius, that men should apply the square and compass morally to their lives. What he actually said, and of course that's in my book, is that in the same way that a carpenter applies a square and compass to his work to make it perfect, so we should apply morals to our lives to make our lives perfect, to have a perfect moral life. It's not exactly the same. So it's a little bit of misunderstanding.
Sure.
But I do believe, as you have mentioned previously, that there is a Chinese connection, particularly a Taoist connection to Freemasonry. And that is explained in detail in Initiation by Light. Yes, it's an interesting, very interesting subject. Another small point is that I personally call the square and compasses.
Yes.
Because the compass shows us direction, whereas compasses delineate circles. It should be used in the plural, compasses. But normally everybody says square and compass, but actually a compass is technically different.
Sure. Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, it's a small thing, but that's a very good academic rap on the knuckles there from from Brother Earnshaw. Yes, I find it very interesting that it's almost like the Caduceus, the depiction of Fuji and Nuwa. We understand the alchemical allusions of this and what it does imply. But yes, that energy is certainly male and female. And in its alchemical context, the rebus, the dragon, which is underneath the feet of the...
So rebus, as you mentioned, there's a famous drawing called Rebus, which is by Heinrich Nollius, and it shows the same picture. It shows a man and woman joined, and in one hand they have the square and compasses, and underneath them is a dragon, and beneath that is a world with some chemical, a geometrical design on it. And obviously it came from China, and they misunderstood. You know, these two people are not standing on a dragon. Fuxi and Nuwa are part dragon, you know.
Yes.
And so it's like Chinese whispers, you know, coming all the way from China into Europe, etc. And then alchemists hear the story and they write it out, but it's an imperfect understanding of the real situation.
I wonder what implications this has on the George and the Dragon story.
That is another interesting story, and I also look at that in my books.
It is in your book. Okay.
Oh, yes.
Where can you find this book? On Amazon?
Oh, yes, you can get this book on Amazon. Thank you very much. Spiritual Freemasonry. George and the Dragon is a very interesting story, and just recently I saw it in the Kremlin when there was a meeting at the Kremlin. And the television was on television. And in the background, one of the flags had George and the Dragon on it.
Right.
But I thought George and the Dragon was a Middle Eastern story. So
it's from Cappadocia.
I was interested to see it sitting behind Putin, just there. You know. Whoa, that was a surprise.
Yeah, it's very interesting. I wonder if that has to do with the Russian Orthodox Church or their interpretation of it. I know there's lots of very strange things, but particularly Masonically in Russia as well, but we'll save that for another podcast.
Yes, let's do that.
Save that for another podcast. In fact, that might be a new topic, Freemasonry in Russia.
It's going to be like 20 seconds long.
Before we get cyber attacked. Right, on that note, I think we'll leave that one there. If you have any questions, please email on the link below. We now part on the square, and we will meet soon. Thank you. And goodbye.
Goodbye.